Conquering Leadership, where we discussed with Evan Stratton, a U.S. Marine Corps combat veteran, some of the impacts of PTSD-related depressions and anxieties that we endure in the world today. Just share in an educational sense some of the challenges that we can all learn about and be better at managing. The show is not egregious. It is intended to increase awareness, and we open with Evan discussing some of his current professional duties and take it from there. Please enjoy what you hear, and if you are someone who's sacrificed or given a sacrifice or surrounded by people who are still sacrificing, thank you for your service.
In what I do now for work doesn't mean there's not a responsibility to those around me to make sure that I'm doing my job well, so it makes their lives easier, but also that I'm developing and being responsible for the development of people where I'm able to do it.
Yeah. You know, when you look at some of those extreme environments and you get this massive adrenaline surge. And adrenaline's a huge drug, and then you're on that roller coaster of fear to elation to invincibility, then drop back down in a trough of fatigue and maybe back to fear or you know, nausea, yeah. And all these things, right? And like all drugs, adrenaline becomes really addictive. How do you get yourself off the adrenaline rush?
I mean, you're asking a guy that went through that and then just volunteered to go row the ocean. So maybe I'm not the right person.
Maybe you're still not.
My wife might have a few choice things to say about it because she has to deal with it. I think it's a lot of balancing now because I do get those things. You know, I mean that experience and that drive and that kind of, addiction may be too strong of a word, but this like innate drive that I have because of those experiences still exist very much. And I think it's important to fulfill that in a way that's constructive and that's for a good reason.
Yeah.
So when I went to go row the ocean, you know, I couldn't blindly think about that as I'm 17, I'm going to go join the military. I don't care that time of war. There was a lot more thought process putting into that and weighing the risks and weighing the rewards, yeah. And kind of what am I getting out of this? Because there is a personal level of gratification that came out of it. And, you know, there was a lot of like, hey, I want to go do this because I still need to prove to myself that I can do hard things, or, you know, this is a big goal. I do want to tackle it. And I think that's okay. I think we need those things in our lives.
Do you think that was part of your growth journey and your curiosity? Because it sounds like from what you're saying here, rather than having a testosterone fueled adventure, you're having a bit more of an intellectual fueled adventure with a testosterone side salad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's just, it can't be a replacement. You know, what are you running from something and you're using it as a way to get away from where you should be, or are you using it because it really is a great personal challenge? It's a way to grow and to, you know, do some things. And I think that's what I really learned on this row, is that I wasn't running away from something. You know, I had to put work on pause for a little bit. You know, I was leaving my family and there were some of these similar side effects, but you know, it was for the right reasons. It was for a great end goal, and I wasn't trying to use it to replace what I was like scared of, or, you know, what I wasn't getting in my life already.
If you don't mind, I'd really like to explore a little bit of the cost of that. So you are a war hero, you're a world record holder, you know, you've done things that other men dream of doing, you know, to be honest. And I'm not blowing smoke here because I do truly respect what you've done on your journey, but it comes at a cost, and you suffered rather horrifically. And would you mind sharing that with us and discussing a little bit about some of the symptoms of what the outcomes of those are?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you at 19 years old, you are still growing physically, mentally, and emotionally. And when I was first injured, and, you know, we were attacked in Iraq, and I was severely wounded, and I watched one of my best friends die during that moment, didn't understand what that meant. And I remember kind of getting out of the hospital and things. And I remember this Marine coming up to me, and I don't even know who he was. He wasn't a part of my unit or anything like that. But he was, he knew about, you know, what happened to me and things like that, because they do these action reports in Iraq. And he's like, at some point in your life, you're going to have to deal with this.
Yeah.
Because he was asking me how I was doing. I was like, I'm fine. I'm okay. You know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, listen, I get it. I know where you're at right now. At some point, you're going to have to deal with this. Just be ready to deal with it when it does come up. And it did come up. Not right away, but many years later after I'd gotten out of the military. And now I was a little bit older. And I think emotionally a little bit stronger, so to speak. But it really challenged me in a tough, tough way. And I went through a pretty big struggle with PTSD, with depression, with anxiety. And that's a tough journey to find yourself in, because there's no outward enemy or outward, you know, opposition. It's all internal opposition. And it's a lot harder to reconcile your own internal opposition than it is to deal with an outside force.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of growth. And what was really hard is it was slow growth and it was slow movement. And so it was humbling and a great lesson to learn that to really value small wins, because I think we're always looking for the big win. We're looking for the big gratification. And that can be a big stopping point for a lot of us, because we get hung up looking for the big win. And sometimes getting out of that bed, taking a shower and showing up is a big win.
That's the
and
win.
It's a big win for that day. And I've had those days. I've had many of those days. And I think learning to value and giving yourself grace and reward for those little wins, especially when we're not doing well, is how you weather the storm. Because you just have to sometimes. You know, you don't get the life helicopter during every storm. We don't get someone to come pull us out in the big, great big revelation. So much of it is dealing with just getting through it and, you know, going through that time of kind of darkness, that time of where things aren't good, and just valuing the little wins. And that's how you get through them.
I was speaking with a counselor recently about this, because I've had my challenges and I was very interested intellectually about the functionality. And she was in layman's terms, she was explaining about neural scarring. So some of these experiences, if you like, you know, imagine a physical scar on your body, it's a similar thing. You go through these experiences and it's like scar tissue. As metaphorically speaking, your brain's a muscle, it develops scar tissue. And some of coming out the other side of that, you have to, you know, work your brain like a piece of dough. You've got to knead it and try and break up that scar tissue and get that muscle functional again. Was that how it felt for you?
Definitely. I had this great, great counselor for many years, and she really helped me understand what you're talking about, the actual physical change of what happens for us in those moments. And, you know, they talk about brain elasticity. Brain elasticity is the neural pathways we have, right? So our thoughts literally correspond to electronic signals that follow a neural pathway in our brains.
Yeah.
And traumatic experiences or depression and some other things can really affect those neural pathways. And you have to retrain your brain.
Yeah.
And studies show that, you know, you can't just change the stoplights and the neural pathways change. It's through different thought patterns and very concerted efforts and thought patterns to rewire the thought path.
Yeah.
So those neural pathways literally change. You know, your brain becomes elastic and it changes over time.
It's fatiguing, isn't it?
But it'll wear you down. Yeah. And it's a slow, long, and never ending process. You know, at this point in my life, I think I've rewired my brain in a lot of really good ways, but it's a never ending process. And it's something that you always have to be aware of and you always have to check in on. It's a never ending work, but it's a really worthwhile one.
But it's in a positive sense or an optimistic sense, it's like going to the gym. If we commit ourselves to go for a run or go to the gym or do a bit of positive activity every day, we're going to get a positive outcome, aren't we?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So, go on.
Yeah. I was gonna say, well, and it's like, I find myself even starting to check just my negative reactions, you know, like simple things like, oh, this sucks. Traffic. I'll use traffic as an example. I was one of those guys that just gets fed up in traffic and cursing the world and all of that for being in traffic. And I hated that. Reflect on myself. My wife hated it. I hated it. I did not like that.
Yeah.
And retraining your brain can be as simple as just, I'm not going to have an outburst the next time I'm in traffic. And then you don't. And then it becomes easier. And then you have less. And then next thing you know, like it's over time, you know, sitting in traffic isn't so bad. But yeah. It's a constant part of our lives that you have to be kind of looking into and checking in on.
So let's have a look at this a little bit, Evan. If you think about it, and it's hard to crunch numbers or get data on this, but and you're super brave, you're talking about it as someone who's experienced it. There's many people in our workplaces who are yet to get to that space where they can speak to cause and effect. And there's many organizations that are fearful of addressing it or don't even want to know that it's there. But when you look at the number of people in the world today, in the workplace who will have been through a military experience or even a non-military experience that creates some kind of traumatic or PTSD kind of symptom, they're out there. And we cannot deny that even if we don't want to address it. So in order to, let's try and educate our community a little bit here, mate. What happens to you, to your brain, for example, if someone inadvertently kicks a trigger?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's very difficult, you know, or let me just put it like this. If you get sick and you have the flu, it's easy to send that email to say, hey, I'm sick. I'm just going to be out for a few days and check in on those sick days. It is much harder to say, I'm just not doing well mentally today for whatever reasons, maybe personal reasons, it, you know, maybe disruption in your personal life, or it could just be like you said, there's, you know, triggers and I'm just not doing well with some past experiences at the moment. And it's really hard to kind of send that email to say, hey, I need to take a personal day.
Yeah,
because of that. And I'll tell you though, it's so much harder because there's kind of this taboo to talk about our experiences and to relive them for whatever reasons. Maybe we're not ready to do them. Maybe we're not in a place to do them. Maybe it's too scary to go there at the moment. But by putting in a lot of work, and I guess I would kind of be talking to a lot of veterans right now, by putting in the work early to get to a point where I could, you know, look in the mirror and be proud of the work I've put in and not be as affected by my experience as I was.
Yeah,
you can now be transparent about those things and you can talk about them with others. And it's incredibly important to do so because our civilian counterparts and others want to know about those experiences, not because it's, you know, they want to get an insight to the circus and get a behind the scenes look at things, but because there's a real amount of respect and empathy for what we've gone through as veterans. And by sharing those experiences, it helps us build those relationships and trust with those we work with.
Yeah.
And when you aren't doing well, then it's a lot easier to send that email and say, hey, I'm just not doing well today. I need to take a sick day or a personal day or whatever it might be. And I think that's one of those things that we're just not doing right now is we're not allowing people to talk about their, you know, that dark side of whatever they're going through in the same way we talk about it like any other illness.
Yeah. It's hard to quantify, isn't it, or articulate what happens inside your body. You're sort of performing your tasks as well as or better than the person next to you or the team around you, and at the same time you are carrying this, like this anvil or this big load inside your head because you've got it locked up in a box. And I watch some TV shows. I look at the Hulk, for example, and I go, that for some people is a visual articulation of what's going on inside someone's head. And it's it's a burden, isn't it? It's just a big, heavy load.
Yeah. I mean,
go on.
It makes us feel inadequate. You know, it's kind of funny because we don't want to talk about that piece of things because it's the moment when we're the most vulnerable because we're not performing at our best and we're not the best versions of ourselves and we know that, you know, and that's, you know, like a personal injury. We're personally not the best. So the last thing you want to do is go and put that out on the table for others to see.
Yeah.
But the thing is others are going to see it whether you want them to or not, because you're either going to bottle it up until it explodes and then you can't control it anymore.
Yeah.
Or you're slowly going to deteriorate. You know, you're just not going to be able to perform because you're just carrying too much on the back of your mind already.
Yeah. You just made me think of that actually, and for the world out there, if you imagine you've got something in a pot on the stove cooking, or the microwave or whatever you use, and it's sitting there bubbling away, right? And just try and visualize that. And eventually, if it's not dealt with or looked after, that lid flips off, and all the contents just spill out all over the surrounding surface.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You know, like, and everybody knows that though. Everybody's cooked macaroni and cheese and boiled the pot over one too many times. You know, we've all done that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge piece of like, let's bring that into the workplace. Like, it's okay to talk about that. And it's okay to recognize that as just a natural part of kind of the human existence. And if we can say, hey, I need to take the lid off, I don't do that at work, I'm going to stay home and do that. What a great, you know, way to handle that. And I think everybody can respect that, but it takes real vulnerability. And I think as leaders and as management of companies, that's where it starts. You know, it takes those folks being willing to talk about this and it say it's okay for others to feel okay to do it.
Well, I think it's more important now with COVID because you and I can talk to it from a military aspect or an overseas aspect of dislocation and dysfunction, that what the COVID world's done is brought it right on our doorstep with our civilian brothers and sisters, hasn't it?
100%. Absolutely. I mean, we thought, you know, going into March, like by this point, we'd all be back, right? We'd have gotten through it, and here we are, and there's still no end in sight. Yeah. And I think many, many organizations now are starting to realize and see that that we need to be able to provide support for everybody in the organization and everybody at every level of the organization. And that's some of the really cool work that I'm getting to do at Mercer right now, is helping provide those resources to companies, because there's a ton out there in the benefits programs for folks.
So look, mate, we could explore this for hours. It's a huge subject, and you know, my little bromance with you is as strong as you know, but I really respect you for talking about this, because there's plenty of people out there who can't, and they still can't, and they're fearful of it. So to close out this subject, if you could give one piece of direction to the directors of our lives, professional and or otherwise, in your organization, whoever's listening out there, what would you tell them to do? You and I both know people with mental health issues are out there, they're struggling. COVID's, you know, adding on top of that. What's the one thing they could do to start the process?
I'm going to throw it out as a direct challenge, to be quite frank. And it is on you as a director and a leader of your organization to recognize your support and your responsibility to support the people in your organization with it.
Yeah,
you do have resources through your employee assistance programs, through the health programs you may offer. There's a lot of free resources out there. You can find them and talk with your HR about them. But I will say, as leaders, it is your direct responsibility to be checking in with your folks. And the way you can do that is at your next check-in, you shift the conversation away with, hey, are you managing your workload? And you start asking some different questions like, how are you doing with your family? Is your family healthy? Are you healthy? How are you doing? And normalize the fact that, you know, the conversation, and it's on you to start it. Don't expect your folks to come to you with it.
Yeah. And it might be as simple, because it doesn't cost, does it? You could just open your door. open your office, your executive suite, and just say to the world outside, my door is open. If you are suffering, here's an area we can all walk the walk on. Walk through the door and let's talk about it.
Well, and I'm going to say it goes beyond that, to be completely honest. You got to walk out of your office door and you got to walk by each cubicle and you have to ask. Yeah. The open door policy doesn't cut the mustard anymore. It's on you as a leader to check in with your people, and you don't have to force a conversation, but it's on you as a leader to ask the question.